Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone. Another episode of Silver Lining Podcast. And with me, as always, Moshe. How are you, Moshe?
Very good. Good afternoon, Ariel. It's good to see you.
And today we are starting something new, right?
Yeah, so today is going to be the first episode of our journey with the Cloud Security Alliance working groups. The Cloud Security Alliance has different working groups, basically over 30 different working groups, dealing with all types of topics that the CSA is doing research on. We could have incident response, self-governance, continuous audits, zero trust and software-defined perimeters. Those are all examples for different working groups. And by far, the most interesting working group and the first one that we are going to host here is the Quantum Safe Security Working Group. And with us, we have Ludovic and Bruno. Hi, you guys. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello.
So after this big opening, now that everybody knows that the QSS is the best working group, I suggest, Bruno, we start with you and introduce yourself.
Yes, so I'm Bruno Hattner. I am one of the co-chairmen of the QSS working group, and I was with this working group almost from the beginning, actually. I'm currently working with ID Quantic in Geneva, and I've been working there for almost 7 years. I'm a physicist by trade with a PhD in physics, but now I am a little bit in between physics and cryptography. And that's also, I think, a good introduction for my friend Ludovic, who is much more in the crypto side.
So Ludovic, introduce yourself, please.
So Ludovic Perez. So I'm the co-chair of the Cloud Security Group and very happy to work with Bruno. So I'm associate professor at Sorbonne University. My research area is post-quantum cryptography. So it's a topic of the group. So basically, I devoted all my life to all my professional life to this topic. So doing research, analysis of security, standardization, and deployment. And so recently, I was also interested in dissemination and industrial transfer. And so I'm the co-founder of a wonderful startup on this area, CryptoNext Security, which is also doing post-quantum security.
Okay, so this is really interesting. And but I suggest before we dive into the working group and the stuff that you do in the working group, Bruno, can you give us a little bit of a review over what is quantum computing in short?
Absolutely. So quantum computing is basically trying to process information at the quantum level. Most computers or all computers rely on bits to do the information processing, and quantum computers rely on so-called qubit, quantum bits. The big difference between quantum bits and regular bits is that this quantum bit can be in a coherent superposition of states. So instead of having a bit which can be a zero or a one only, a quantum bit can be something in between, and this something is basically all the secret of quantum. With a quantum computer, you can do some computation, not all of them, but some computation much, much faster than with a classical computer. Faster doesn't mean that the computer is faster, but faster means that you got much less steps in order to solve a given problem. And the fact that you can do that actually allows a lot of progress and many new things you can do with a quantum computer, which you cannot do with a classical one. And this is why so many people are interested today in the quantum computer. But again, with this nice stuff comes also a threat, which my colleague, I think, Ludovic, will explain to you in more details.
Yeah, so handing to you, Ludovic. So we understand that quantum computing can do a lot of things faster, and this is because of those qubits that This is like the 15th time I hear this explanation, but I still don't understand it. But I guess, okay, some things are too big.
You know, Moshe, it's not a problem. Richard Feynman, one of the most famous physicists, said nobody understands quantum mechanics. So I think you can be forgiven for not understanding the details of the quantum computer anyway.
I gave up on trying.
But we can use it.
Yeah, but I understand there is a threat. Ludovic, can you tell us a little bit about the actual threat?
Yeah, so it's kind of difficult. It even looks science fiction for this quantum computer, but it's not completely. And there is something that we can easily understand is the impact of it. So as of today, so our security communication will rely on some public key cryptography. And so this public key cryptography is secure because we have some hard mathematical problem that we believe cannot be solved by classical computer easily. And so the point is that quantum computers are very good to break the mathematical problem that are underlying our current security. And so once you will have a powerful enough quantum computer, then you will be able to break basically all the security protocols which are used today.
Okay, so it sounds, you know, one of those threats that it's too intimidating that we can even comprehend. I mean, as a security professional, like working in a bank, should I care? I mean, maybe it's a big way over my head, isn't it? I mean, what can we do now if all of the cryptography can break?
Yeah, it looks a bit very scary because if we have a quantum computer today, then it's completely terrible. So everything will be broken. And well, if I'm working in a bank, then probably I will have no more job. But the point is that the quantum computer which are available today, so there is quantum computer, it's not science fiction. So some of them are available on the cloud, but they are too small to really attack current crypto system. And so we believe that 2030 will be probably the year for which we are going to be at risk. And so it's clear that, today it looks that, maybe you have you don't care about that because as security professional, you have a lot of other issues which are urgent to deal. So why you should care? First, because we will have a new standard. They are going to be defined in the next 2 years. So NIST organized a competition on that topic to define a new algorithm. And so the results are there. So we will have a new standard. So that's a first reason. So the other point is that, public key cryptography is basically everywhere. So changing this component will take a lot of time. So you need to anticipate and do that today. And the other issue is that recording traffic is something which is easy. The same that storing traffic, so you can do this at a large scale. And for some confidential data, let's say 10, 15 years, that need to remain secret, then it's already an issue because you can capture this data and wait for a few years that a quantum computer is here to decrypt it. So in some verticals, it's already a pressing issue.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is that quantum computers may be 10 years away, but the threat still exists today because I can record something now, even if it's encrypted, and in a couple of years try to start breaking it. And this basically takes down the many of the security assumptions that we do. So in order to cope with, we understand the quantum computer now, we understand the threat. In order to cope with this, CSA has basically built the working group. Because this is the first episode that we do with the working group, I will explain what is a Cloud Security Alliance working group is. Basically, a working group is a think tank or a group of professionals that are trying to to create research around a specific topic. As I said, there are over 30 different working groups with the CSA, and each working group gets a charter. The charter basically explains what the working group should be doing. Each working group has a chair, and preferably two people that are doing the actual chair, just like in the QSS working group. And the Cloud Security Alliance also assigned an analyst that can help in managing and creating the actual artifact for the different working groups. And those working groups are gathered usually once every month or every 2 weeks, and they're trying to create their next task. Bruno, can you tell us about the history of the QSS, when it was established, and what is the charter of the group?
Yes, of course. The QSS was established almost a decade ago. And really, at the beginning, the idea was to raise awareness. 10 years ago, or even less, nobody believed that a quantum computer could be built. And our first task was to raise the issue, basically telling people, yes, there may be a quantum computer. And if there is a quantum computer at some stage, it will become dangerous. So that's really raising awareness was really our first job. Today, it's much easier because everybody has heard about a quantum computer. As Ludovic has told you, there even you can use a quantum computer today online. They are just a bit too small to be used for cryptographic applications. So people are aware of the threat. And now what we need to do is more educate people. So we are publishing papers, and our job is really to discuss whatever solutions are available and try to put them in a way which people can understand maybe a bit easier than when you go to the original papers. So really, we went from awareness to education, and now also to explain the solutions, really. What is available to counter the threat? What can be done? And lastly, of course, there is this cloud security issues. I mean, we try and link what we are doing to the cloud. Quantum computer will threaten every kind of cryptography. But since the cloud is now also everywhere, basically, it will also be threatened by this kind of, by the quantum computer, obviously. But our research is really to try and tell people in cloud security what is the impact of the quantum computer today.
Okay, so the charter of the working group, it began by creating awareness, but now it's more of making the current solutions more accessible. You don't develop solutions, but you make sure that people who have their people who want to learn about quantum computing and the effect of cloud, of the effect of quantum computing on cloud, will have more accessible and documentation.
Yeah, to develop a new solution is very time consuming. I mean, there are hundreds of cryptographers working on that, hundreds of physicists you will hear in a moment working on that as well. So we cannot just claim to do something original here. What we do is try and understand and working together to present solutions. One thing maybe which is of interest is that it's one of the few groups where you have people coming from the quantum side on the mathematical side, and we will come back to that. So we can discuss together, although there was some antagonism between these two fields, I would say, at the beginning, and we are trying to bridge the two together so that we can really show the best solution, which we believe will be a mixture of everything to get the best solution.
Okay. So just asking, Bruno, so you did the marketing awareness, and after that, peace within the people.
I think peace is also very interesting. I would rather put it as collaboration. You know, there was a lot of antagonism initially with people not talking to one another. And what we demonstrated, Ludovic and myself, and with all the group, that we can actually talk together and try to find solutions which present a mixture of both mathematics and quantum. But I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves because we will explain that in a moment.
Yeah, so let's dive in. So we have basically two types of solutions for the quantum challenge. The first one is mathematical solution. Ludovic, can you talk about that for a couple of minutes? You're muted. Ludovic?
Okay, so mathematical solution. So this is a first type of solution to defeat the quantum computer. And so first, let me recall that, in fact, these solutions are very much similar to the solution which are used today and which dates back from Rivas, Shamir, Adelman, and Diffie, who invented public key cryptography. So the idea is to have two types of key, one public, one secret, and with that you can do encryption or you can do authentication. And so what was the idea of this researcher is to say, okay, we can construct this type of public key crypto system from mathematical art problem. So one that is well known is factorization. So multiplying two prime numbers is easy, but finding a decomposition is very difficult, finding a factorization. And so one thing on which the quantum computer is very good is indeed to find a factorization you can do in polynomial time. And so the idea of mathematical solution is to say, okay, well, we try to keep kind of the same framework that we have today for doing public key cryptography, but we are going to look at a different mathematical art problem, which are going to be secure against a quantum computer. And that, okay, so mathematical solution. So this is a first type of solution to defeat the quantum computer. And so first, let me recall that, in fact, these solutions are very much similar to the solution which are used today and which dates back from Rivas, Shamir, Adelman, and Diffie, who invented public key cryptography. So the idea is to have two types of key, one public, one secret, and with that you can do encryption or you can do authentication. And so what was the idea of this researcher is to say, okay, we can construct this type of public key crypto system from mathematical art problem. So one that is well known is factorization. So multiplying two prime numbers is easy, but finding a decomposition is very difficult, finding a factorization. And so one thing on which the quantum computer is very good is indeed to find a factorization you can do in polynomial time. And so the idea of mathematical solution is to say, okay, well, we try to keep kind of the same framework that we have today for doing public key cryptography, but we are going to look at a different mathematical art problem, which are going to be secure against a quantum computer. And that's where NIST started to be in place. And because they say, okay, which type of problems we should use. And so this standardization organization, So they organize a kind of competition to define what is the best mathematical problem and the best crypto system which can be constructed from that. And so the process started about 5 years ago, and actually we just got last week the final announcement of this process. And so NIST defined one public key algorithm for doing encryption and three algorithms for public key signature. And so these schemes rely on two new art problems. So one is finding the preimage of a hash function. So something that has a long history. And so the other one is related to what we call the lattice problem. And so the issue, the computational art problem is to find a short vector to be defined. But for reality are going to be different. Hello, hello?
Yeah, we're listening. We just had a couple of problems with the line, but we're okay. So basically we have a winner for the first quantum resistant cryptography algorithm. During this contest, I heard a couple of times about a suggestion that people made and people were able to break it, I don't know, over the weekend or something like that. How resilient do you think this algorithm that was chosen by NIST?
Well, I think it's always a difficult task to find an alternative to public key crypto system. So indeed, some scheme were broken at the very beginning of the competition. But all in all, it was kind of always a challenge to break some scheme. I have to say that in round three, almost close to the final rounds, we have some surprise, some schemes, in particular signature schemes, were broken. But that's, I would say, part of the process. So we rely on some assumption, and we have to kind of test if the assumption are correct. And so it's the very same with what we are using today. So we say, okay, we define two problems, factorization and discrete logarithm, and let's go for that. And during the years, so we adapt the parameters. So I would say we can be reasonably confident on the hard problem that has been defined, but we can probably expect in the future to kind of tweak a little bit the scheme to adapt.
Okay. So those are the mathematical side of things. Bruno, can you share a little bit insight on the quantum solutions themselves?
Yes. What is interesting is that the same properties which bring the strength of the quantum computer, this kind of coherent superposition of states, give you also something very peculiar, which give you some security as well for against the quantum computer. So basically, the quantum computer on one side is a threat, but quantum properties can be used to counter these threats. And there are two aspects of this quantum solution. The first one is what we call the quantum random number generator. For any kind of cryptography, you need randomness. It can be for normal cryptography, for post-quantum, whatever. You always need randomness to start a cryptographic process. I mean, it's easy to understand that if you start with something deterministic, somebody can also know what we will be doing and therefore can attack you. So it's really important to have good randomness to start any kind of crypto process. And the best source of randomness, which comes from the very fundamental of physics, is quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics is intrinsically non-deterministic, which means that when you measure a quantum state, for example, a state which is in a superposition, you cannot know in advance which kind of result of the measurement you will get. And you can use this in order to generate very, very good randomness. For example, at ID Quantic, we have made a random number generator based on quantum, the size of a very small chip, about 1 millimeter times 1 millimeter, which we can even put in mobile phones. And this is a really great source of randomness. And this can be used everywhere. We're also working on putting it in space, for example, and so on. That's one aspect to improve the randomness generation for all kinds of cryptographic process using quantum. The other thing we do is to use also quantum mechanics to distribute the keys. And this is very interesting because it comes with a proof of security. What we mean by that is that at the core, the quantum key distribution, the way you distribute the keys with quantum mechanics, is known to be secure. There may be some implementation issues. There are implementation issues, but at least you are certain that the core problem is absolutely safe. And you can use this QKD, quantum key distribution, for example, today already to provide point-to-point security. If you are a bank and you want to protect a link between the headquarters and the recovery center, some kind of data center away from your bank, you can already use QKD today. In the future, we hope to build quantum networks which will provide the same kind of security, but over much larger scales. And ultimately, once the technology has evolved enough, we hope to build a quantum internet, which will work hand in hand with the standard internet to provide the best security. And this is going on already in different parts of the world, at least a kind of quantum networks today. For example, China has a very large quantum network. Korea is building one. And in Europe, we have the quantum cryptographic infrastructure, where many countries in Europe will want to build together an infrastructure which will be secured by quantum. So you see that quantum cryptography or quantum key distribution is slowly moving from a local thing to something much more global, which will complement, we hope, the mathematical solutions, which we still need today anyway.
Okay. So in the last couple of minutes that we have, let's go really quick on the different publication that the working group has produced. I think the first one would be the countdown for the Y2K, the year to quantum. Bruno, can you tell us a little bit about this publication?
Yes, a few months ago, the director of CSA came to us and say, maybe we should do something about this quantum threat. And we decided to do this Y2Q countdown. So, of course, we selected a specific date, which doesn't mean much because we don't know exactly when there will be a quantum computer. And then if you go to the CSA website, you see a countdown to this. And this helps people to basically see that the quantum threat is coming more and more faster and faster. And we hope that by seeing this countdown, people will realize that the threat is coming and that they will do something about it, which is really what we want, to raise awareness and then to help people find solutions.
Okay.
We so, also... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead. The next publication is the executive briefing.
Yes, so we also write several papers. And one of them was a kind of a short briefing on what can you do against the quantum threat. And this was very, very easy. A few steps based on another publication for practical preparation. And it's really telling the CISOs and people at management level what they need to know about quantum in order to ask their own people to take the right steps to provide security.
Okay. And the last publication was Quantum Computing Practical Preparation. And Ludwig, can you share a couple of words about this publication?
Yeah, so it's an extended version of the documents that Bruno described. And so the idea is to give a concrete advice and a methodology to do the transition to quantum safe. So typically, we believe that the first step is education and awareness of our teams and also the executive. Also, you need quickly to do some post-quantum project to test at small scale. And so after, question is to know your data. So take a data protection inventory, do an analysis. And the last step is to implement the mitigation which are required, post-quantum or quantum.
Okay. And two questions basically for you, Ludwig. First one is interaction with other working groups for the CSA. I mean, quantum is a big topic, probably interesting other working groups. Second question would be, what are the future plans for the working group? What are you going to release next?
And well, so the question is almost, so it's indeed a very good question. So possibly there is a lot of interaction, but currently we are working a lot with people in the blockchain group because we believe it's also an area where a vertical where quantum is very important. And so we are currently working with them. And so the next publication is going to be on this topic related to blockchain and also a practical preparation for blockchain to be quantum safe.
In addition to that, I think it's interesting we're discussing with the people who are working on the 10 top threats on the cloud security. And today, quantum is not seen as a top threat, probably because it's still quite a little bit away. I mean, it's not today. What we would like to do is to convince the people working on this top threat to consider quantum. And I would think that within a few years maximum, quantum will become one of the top threats on the cloud security, simply because the quantum computers will go stronger and stronger, and the threat on every kind of data transferred through the cloud will get stronger as well.
Okay. So let me summarize everything we just heard and see if you have any last words for us, Ludovic and Bruno. So quantum computing can bring great opportunities, computers that can do an amazing amount of computation per second, but it also brings down threat. And the most, I think, basic threat is the fact that it can break any cryptography we know. So this is why we, the Cloud Security Alliance established the QSS working group, the Quantum Safe Security Working Group. And the idea is that we create awareness first and we describe the different solutions in the market in a way that our audience can relate to. Different solutions could be the mathematical solutions, like creating new algorithm, like the competition NIST concluded last week, or it could be quantum solution for creating new cryptographic means, like random number generators and new ways to do key distribution. So this is basically the things that we need to better understand and develop as we move on to quantum computing, which you expect to be in 10 years. Out of the different publications that came from the working group, we have the countdown for the year to quantum on the CSA website. We have basically an executive briefing that is highlighting for the executive what they can release. What they can do now for in order to be more prepared in the future. And we have the practical preparation, which is basically an extension of the previously mentioned document. And on top of that, the QSS working group is also providing infrastructure, for instance, for other working groups like the blockchain and other working groups that are interested in incorporating with the Quantum Safe Security Working Group. Anything I missed, Ludovic and Bruno?
I think you made a very nice summary of all we discussed on what all we are doing in the QSS.
Perfect. So we would like to thank you for your contribution to the community. Keep on the good work. And we will return to you in the future for reviewing more on what you did and on the publication. And in the episode page, our listeners can see the link to the working group and its different publication. And of course, everybody can join this working group. So simply click the join button on the working group website on the CSA.org website. Bruno, Ludovic, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day, everyone.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save.